Pork is very popular. And maybe it's just me, but it seems like people have really embraced their love of pork in recent years. Like it's been taken to the next level. Menu descriptions fawn over specific parts of the pig, from the cheek to the belly to, yes, the loin. Pulled pork is standard, and I'm pretty sure the pig farmers have no need these days for a campaign like the other white meat. Remember that? Well, today we're going to talk about the pig in all its glory, starting with Howard Hanna. He's the chef at the Rieger, and he loves to work with pork in his restaurant. But when it comes to special occasions for friends and family, his claim to fame is something he can't do in the restaurant, the pig roast. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And Howard Hanna, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We'll get to the pig roast, but talk to me about Kansas City's relationship with pork.
Well, I think most chefs in Kansas City are really trying to focus on our regional identity and, you know, what our city does that other people, you know, what are we best at? And obviously with the barbecue tradition, that's always been tied to smoked meat and pork being, you know, one of the best of them. Really, though, I look at the seasons and I look at our network of local producers and really great farms, and pork is the thing that we always have that's really, really beautiful and perfect here.
All year round?
Yeah. And we're really lucky to have a great processor just up the road in Trimble, Missouri, Paradise Locker Meats. They're doing things like really right with a lot of attention to detail and a lot of respect for the animals and for the farmers. And then we have a network of farms that are raising heritage breed pigs outdoors on pasture. And that's something that I'm really like proud to highlight and really happy when I get to eat.
So when you are working with pork, what is it that you enjoy about working with this particular animal, the pig, and with different cuts of pork?
I really think it's a magical animal, I think Homer Simpson said, but it's super versatile, you know, that different cuts can be utilized in so many different ways, but also a lot of it is really, really good prepared very simply. I also like that it's economical. It's a lot greener to produce than maybe high-end beef is. And because of that, the economy of it, it's been a good food option for a lot of, lower income people around the world and around our country. And it takes ingenuity and talent and years of tradition in some cases to find the best way to take a less expensive or tougher or fattier cut of meat and make it something really beautiful and delicious.
Can you tell me a little bit about the different things? Like I was mentioning before that you will see pork belly or pork shoulder or pork cheek on a menu. Can you talk to me a little bit about the differences for the chef and the differences for the person who's eating those different cuts of meat?
Sure. Basically, with pigs for sure, but with all animals, the more well exercised a muscle is, the coarser the muscle fibers will be, and then maybe the tougher or chewier it is. But at the same time, those are also often the most flavorful cuts of meat. But they might require a different style of cooking. So something that's very lean and tender and finely textured like a loin or a tenderloin, you can cook very quickly on the grill or in a pan. But something that's tougher and more well-muscled and fattier, like a pork shoulder, you might need to cook for a long time to make it palatable. And then pork shoulder, I think, really is one of the best cuts of meat there is because it contains the right ratio of meat and fat to just be ground. You can grind the whole pork shoulder and make sausage with that, and it's the perfect ratio. So it's kind of a really easy thing to work with in that way.
What about the belly? That is something that I feel like is a pretty regular thing to see on a menu these days that you wouldn't have seen so much 2 decades ago.
Yeah. I mean, of course, most bellies in the U.S. were going into bacon production traditionally, and that's something, you know, a lot of people can't get through a day without. So we've always been eating pork belly. But I think that chefs have started to highlight it and use it in different ways other than cured and smoked for bacon. I think Tom Colicchio in New York, I can't remember what he called it, but it was a braised pork belly dish at Gramercy Tavern in probably the very early 2000s. And that was the first time I remembered seeing it on, you know, a menu of like a Western style restaurant, you know, in Chinese cooking and other ethnic cuisines that I'd visited. It was very common, but in like an American chef with a Caucasian chef, it was the first time I had seen it really highlighted and shown off. And then it really blew up after that.
So like I said, your claim to fame among friends, maybe I'm overstating this, but it's the pig roast. When there's a special occasion that you are involved in, it seems like the pig roast is likely to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Culturally, that's really important to me. My mom was from Samoa, and most of my family is in Samoa and New Zealand and other parts of the Pacific. And really, in a lot of Polynesian cultures, the pig roast is a really important part of our culture. And it's something that in my family tradition, we've always done to celebrate a child's first birthday. And that was something our parents had recently moved to Kansas when they started a family and were far away from our extended family. But they wanted to introduce that culture to us and that and to keep that tradition alive. And my sisters and I have done that with all of our children as well. And it's really important for our family. But it's also just a cool celebratory, like, really fun thing to do with friends, because it takes a long time to cook, but you're not very actively cooking it. So you get to have a big fire and you get to sit around and have great conversations around that fire while it cooks. And then really you need a lot of people to eat it. So you kind of have to throw a party to have a pig roast.
Could you tell me more about the importance of the pig roast in Samoan culture? I mean, you've mentioned that it's a first birthday celebration. What else? And yeah, what is the significance of it?
Well, it's used in many occasions just to mark a big day and really just to feed people. So anything where your extended family gathers or important village events, there would always be a pig roast. And that might, you know, be weddings and funerals, but also big, important, you know, political meetings. They would roast a lot of pigs and things like that. And it was done traditionally in a pit in the ground. In Samoa, that's called the umu, that style of cooking in that oven. In Hawaii, more Americans are probably familiar with imu. It's a similar word, but the same concept of the pit oven. And I'm kind of most excited when I get to do a pig roast in that way, which I kind of seek out opportunities to do that.
For so many people, at least in, you know, the United States, the big fancy occasion is celebrated at a nice restaurant or with the fine china, if you have fine china, or, you know, whatever the equivalent is for you. And I kind of love that you're someone who spends every day in a fancy restaurant and that on your special occasions, you head out to the backyard.
Yeah, I think there's something so different about cooking outside than cooking in a professional kitchen, and I love them both. I don't want to live without them both. But yeah, I think a lot of chefs can connect with that. And a couple of years ago, when Michael and Christina Corvino got married, you know, they own one of the best fine dining restaurants in our city. When they got married, Michael and I went out to a farm and dug a pit in the ground, and we lined it with cinder blocks and we did the whole thing. And then we didn't want to take the chance of like missing the timing of their wedding day because it was such an important occasion. So we had to do a test run with our pig pit. So we had a party several months before the wedding. And
the practice party.
Yeah. And the practice pig came out great. So we went into the wedding weekend with a lot of confidence.
So how do you actually do it? How do you roast a pig?
Well, there's lots of different ways, but in the traditional Samoan way, it is a pit in the ground, and you basically are building a massive fire that you burn down all the way to coals. You're also at the same time heating rocks around it. And really, you don't want like leaping flames that would burn and scorch the pig. You're really just generating a ton of heat. And so once it's all coals, the pig is wrapped in banana leaves and other things. And then there's other side dishes also wrapped in leaves that are placed with it. You put that into the pit, cover it with rocks, and then like burlap sacks or really cardboard, anything to seal in the heat. And it also cuts off the oxygen so that it's not flaring up. It's just trapping the heat. And then ultimately you can cover it with dirt as well. And when that's done, you just leave it alone. And basically you've created an oven underground. And after hours and hours, the pig will, you know, have cooked fully.
What are some of your favorite side dishes to wrap up in there?
Traditional in Samoa, we always cook taro, a very, very starchy root vegetable. And then breadfruit is another kind of starchy, even though it's a fruit that grows on a tree, it's a very starchy kind of bread-like, it's well-named accompaniment for meat. And then really all kinds of other things. We do greens a lot of times in coconut milk and things like that.
You've told me about before that there's also a significance to pigs' ears in Samoan culture.
Yeah. I think that it's just kind of good luck that you celebrate a child's birthday on their first birthday with a pig roast, because a lot of time there's like that child might be teething, or also other family members have kids around the same age, and there's kids that are teething. And that was always the tradition, was to take it, one of the ears, and give it to the kid. And so on my first birthday, I had my first pig ear and had something to kind of chew on while the adults tore into the rest of the pig.
Did you do that with your own kids?
Yeah, I don't remember them particularly being interested in it, but I remember I offered it for sure.
Oh, you know, I'm curious about some of the other things, you do with pork, getting back to your restaurant. I mean, if someone is just beginning to broaden their horizons with pork, just taking their first steps past bacon at breakfast or something, how would you recommend they get started? What do you think is the perfect pathway to pork?
I mean, there's a lot of other things that take more skill in cooking, and they take more thought and preparation. But really, I love pork chops. I think that's a simple, approachable thing. It's something that a home cook could easily do. So that's a great way to get started. I also think I would look at how the pig was raised and where it came from. And I think when people taste the difference between a heritage breeds animal from a small farm that was raised outdoors versus a commodity pork they might find in every supermarket, it's a world of difference. And I think I would really encourage people to explore that and then, you know, make the best purchasing decision.
Are you able to describe the difference? I know you're saying when people taste it, they'll know it. And I'm
Absolutely.
Sure that's the best way. But are you able to describe the difference?
Yeah, there's it's a lot more flavorful. And that pork, the other white meat, was a slogan from the industry that was really trying to get more people to think of it more often. And because Americans were trying to avoid, you know, fattier things and animal fats in particular, they wanted to promote that pork can be lean and it can be tender and white. And the pork that I love is the opposite of all those things. It's more coarsely textured. It's way more flavorful. It's darker in color and it's higher in fat. But the fat's good for you if it's a healthy animal. And I also think that it's really important environmental impacts of factory farming that are, you know, uncomfortable for me. It's things that I don't want to support, and that the use of antibiotics in animal production and the way that the waste is handled, there's really negative impacts of that that aren't seen on a small family farm. So when those sort of environmental or even political concerns sort of also happen to align with just the pursuit of which pork chop is the most delicious, that's a really happy coincidence where I can do the right thing for whatever reason.
So just out of curiosity, how do you feel about pork tenderloin sandwiches? We are about to try a famous one here in town, but I won't say where.
I love them with all my heart. it's something we do at the restaurant on First Fridays. We do it. We bring it back as a special. It's something we used to do at lunch. But mine was inspired by one not too far from here. I was actually thinking about going by on my way home, perhaps, after this.
Well, cool. Howard Hanna of The Rieger, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
And now for that pork tenderloin sandwich, let's go with KCUR's Michelle Tyreen Johnson to a Midtown diner where they've been serving an iconic one for more than 65 years.
Kitty's Cafe is located on 31st Street, just east of the hip Martini Corner and Cherry Pit Collective, and just west of the longtime nonprofit Operation Breakthrough on Truce. With six stools tightly together at the countertops and some patio seating outside, Kitty's is not a destination stop kind of restaurant. Most of the orders are takeout, and you can only pay with cash. On a warm August day in the Midtown, food critic Charles Peruzza and I sit eating on the outdoor patio, enjoying Kitty's signature sandwich.
It's hard to find the perfect pork tenderloin that is soft and not too chewy and perfectly seasoned and a little bit crunchy, and this has all those things.
I'm no food critic, but I agree with Charles. The pork tenderloin sandwiches at Kitty's are delicious. Unlike the typical kind, this is no oversized, overly breaded pork patty hanging over buns that are too small. The sandwich at Kitty's Cafe features three thin pieces of tenderloin cooked in a light batter with lettuce, pickles, and a delicate kick of in-house made hot sauce. Paul Kawakami and his wife Kitty opened the diner in 1951. They were Japanese Americans who moved to Kansas City from California after having spent time in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. The business has been in continuous operation but has changed hands several times, with some of the history lost over the years. The latest in a line of owners is Charlie Solovang, who has worked in restaurants most of his life. The business was bought 20 years ago, along with the recipes. The restaurant has always been Asian American owned, and you can taste the influence of the original owners in the most popular sandwich, the pork tenderloin, which is deep fried in tempura batter. Charlie makes one to order for a waiting customer.
It's homemade. That's what it is, you know. You know, you have to cut it, put it in, and fly so it looks crispy, you know, when you eat it. It tastes different from the one you bought it from Costco or whatever.
I was able to wheedle one secret recipe out of Charlie, the hot sauce.
I got the sugar, tomato paste, and hot pepper from Thailand, you know, real hot, yeah.
Even though Kitty's is known for its pork tenderloin sandwiches, that's not all that's good, according to Ms. Joyce, a regular customer.
Sausages and eggs, the cheeseburger, the french fries and tater tots off the chain. All the food is really awesome.
On any given lunch hour, Charlie says a wide swath of Kansas City folks come by to get their fill.
They like to eat, you know, so. Yeah, I got all kind of customers, yeah.
As a food critic in Kansas City for more than 30 years, Charles Ferruza finds Kitty's simplicity and family origins part of its appeal.
There's something very comforting about being here. You know what you're going to get. I love that they have the menu in lights on the wall that you order, you know, off of that. And it's a very uncomplicated menu. You know, you have to like fried food if you want to come here.
Karen Patrick would agree with that. I met her one day picking up a to-go order at Kitty's with her son. She has a particular warm spot in her heart for their pork tenderloin sandwich. It was a favorite of her brother's and his last request from his sister before he passed away from cancer several years ago.
And I said, Ducky, you can't eat it. He said, I just want to taste the juice. And I came up here. This happened January 31st, 1999. I came up here, got my brother a tenderloin. Noon at 7 o'clock the evening, he passed. But he got to get him a Miss Kitty's tenderloin.
Kitty's Cafe continues to be a thriving little pocket of fried comfort food in a neighborhood that's changing rapidly. Long live that pork tenderloin sandwich.
And thanks to Michelle Tyrene Johnson for going out and getting that story and that sandwich at Kitty's Cafe, although it does not seem like she minded the assignment too much. I'm Gina Kaufman, and when KCUR's Central Standard returns, we will be hearing about your favorite pork dish in town. You know you've got one. Maybe a pulled pork something or other, a taco al pastor, or some truly exceptional bacon. 816-235-2888. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here to talk about pork. Call 816-235-2888 to declare your love for your favorite Kansas City pork dish. Whether it's a classic like the tenderloin sandwich at Kitty's Cafe, which we just heard about, or something new you've just discovered that you can't wait to tell us about. 816-235-2888. Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, Bonjuing Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys, is pork having a moment?
I think it's been having a moment.
Oh, I mean, since the dawn of Kansas City, pork has been having a moment, I would tell you. I mean, between kind of the stockyards and obviously what's happening in kind of farm to table today. I mean, pork is certainly on the menu.
All right. Well, let's get going with these recommendations. And Jenny, tell me about, we've heard about one pork tenderloin sandwich just now, so let's stick with that for a minute. You're recommending one as well, a different one.
I am. I'm recommending EJ's Urban Eatery down in the West Bottoms. Chef John Smith does such a nice job. Now, this is a Wednesday-only lunch special, and his pork tenderloin has bacon jam, red onions, yellow mustard, a little bit of homemade pickle on a brioche bun. It's not the big as your head flopping over the side. It's a very manageable sandwich, but if you follow him on Instagram, his photos look delicious. So I had to go in there and get one. I recommend it to everyone.
And it lived up to the photos?
Yeah, it's a nice, it's almost like a tempura batter that's on it. So it's similar to Kitty's in that it's just really light and crisp. It's not a breadcrumb or a cornmeal dusting at all.
So that is the pork tenderloin sandwich at EJ's Urban Eatery. Mary, you have a couple of sandwiches that are a little maybe less familiar. A pulled pork sandwich, a boss hog sandwich.
Yes, at the Bite. We have talked about the Bite before, probably when we had a sandwich shop, but it bears repeating because Carlos has great sandwiches, and the Boss Hog has roasted pork with Korean barbecue sauce, candied jalapenos, which are great, and sesame slaw. But all of his sandwiches are wonderful, so check them out.
And Joe's KC is where you're recommending your pulled pork.
Yes, we couldn't have a show about pork and not talk about the Carolina style pulled pork sandwich at Joe's with Bubba sauce and Carolina slaw. And then yesterday they just announced a new sandwich called the Rocket Pig. It was perfect timing for this show. It has pulled pork, fried jalapenos, bacon, and a sweet, spicy hot barbecue sauce.
Pepper jack cheese.
Yes.
I think it's somewhere in the mix.
Pepper jack cheese. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, Bonjuing, while we're with sort of like the Kansas City standards when it comes to pork, you are recommending a pork chop, but this one is called a double pork chop.
Yes. And it's on the reserve menu at Rye, both locations. And it's ultra thick because it's actually two chops that have not been cut into two smaller cutlets, which they also have on their regular menu, but this one is a double. So it's super juicy in the middle because it's been kept intact and it's big. It's served cowboy style, if you will. You know?
Well, and I love thick pork chops because the chef can cook it the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's still pink in the middle and moist and juicy. And
right.
People don't have to be afraid of trigonosis or whatever. It's
okay. The warning, you may get a bad disease if you eat this thing on the menu.
But back to Kansas City and what Mary was talking about with Joe's. I mean, is anyone going to say no to pork ribs? I mean, ribs
yeah.
are just another thing that just mm-hmm. are always great.
Does anyone have – I didn't notice any ribs on anyone's list here today.
I thought for sure someone would bring it up, so I didn't put it on my –
It just seemed like it was a – that goes without saying kind of thing.
So ribs in general, but if there's some – ribs that you particularly want to recommend, you can do that at 816-235-2888. Let's talk to John. John has called us from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, John.
Yes, yes.
What do you
I'm
want to recommend?
About the pork tenderloin sandwich at the Humdinger Restaurant, right there off of 9th and Prospect. It's the best pork tenderloin sandwich ever.
Go
it's
on.
It's been a fixture in Kansas City for years.
Why do you nominate this one?
Excuse me?
Why do you nominate this sandwich as the best one in town? Why do you like it better than all the others?
I'm going to tell you why. I'm a lifelong resident in Kansas City, Missouri. And that pork tenderloin sandwich, I've been getting that pork tenderloin sandwich since I was a young boy. In the 70s, and I drive down there and I get that pork tenderloin sandwich every time I go.
So it's just part of your life, this sandwich.
It is.
Well, thank you, John.
It's the best pork tenderloin sandwich I've ever had.
Well, it sounds like people do have strong emotions about pork tenderloin sandwiches. I will confess, I've never had a pork tenderloin sandwich ever.
Really?
Never. I'll have to try one.
I mean, just like shock and
Kitties,
awe.
Yeah.
Shock and awe. We're all
silence.
Just silent.
I know.
What?
My mom's a rabbi.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
All right. So anyway, let's get some more recommendations here for great pork. How about, Jenny, you're recommending a grilled heritage pork loin at Freshwater.
So I like Freshwater so much. Those guys are doing such a nice job there. And everything that they do is kind of hyper-local. And they're small enough that they can really do that. So at Freshwater, the pork loin there is a heritage pork. So obviously local, heritage pig. And it's also served with long beans, a carrot puree, and a pepperonata kind of sauce on the top. And the preparation of this changes weekly depending on what produce they have. But when they have this heritage pork, it's just, and the other thing about freshwater I'll tell you is that the protein portions are like right size. Like the entire dish is like the perfect size. It's not a big mammoth thing that you have to take home in a take home box. It's literally just a couple of bites, but it's just enough meat and just enough veg. It's a great balance. So, and who doesn't love, you know, delicious heritage pork? So if you'd like that experience, freshwater's where to go.
And so Bonjuing, talk to me about the Tacos Al Pastor that you're recommending.
So the reason I like the ones at Tacos El Gallo is because they're kind of crispy. They get the pork kind of crispy in this taco.
Yes.
And that I particularly like. Mm-hmm. It's not maybe the kind of Tacos Al Pastor that you're used to where it's shaved off the, you know, the spit. But this one, they're a little crispy. And so I think that it was a different take and I really liked it. Gave a little texture, you know, when you get fried pork and the crispy bits.
Now, we've talked about Al Pastor on this show before, but what is it that works particularly well? It seems like all of the different flavors that go into the Al Pastor have some way of just working with pork.
Yes, and also I think traditionally it's served with a bit of roasted pineapple, and that sort of combination of ham or pork with pineapple is a great, you know, it's got that little bit of acidity to cut through the fat of the pork. I think it just is a great combination.
So that's the Tacos El Gallo version of the Tacos Al Pastor. Let's talk to Mary some more. Mary, you are recommending El Comedor at Port Fonda.
Yes, that is a large format dish. You have to order it in advance. You can eat, they'll serve it to you at the restaurant, or you can carry it out. It was started in Patrick Ryan's El Comedor Airstreamer before he had a brick and mortar restaurant. And it is
so fun.
It is really
fun. It's like a great group experience.
It is. And it's a whole pork butt with crispy skin. It's just ridiculously delicious. They serve it with tortillas, salsas, rancho, gordo beans. You can add sides like their corn, their esquite. And as you said, it's just a fun thing to do.
Oh,
everybody's
gosh,
pulling at it. It's not sliced. They just give you some big forks, and you just tear it out.
Yeah, go with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. You just do it yourself.
It serves 8 to 10 people. Yeah. And if you're lucky, you'll have some to take home.
And tequila.
Yeah.
Enjoy it with some tequila.
But it's a really unusual format. I don't know any other place in Kansas City.
It's a great experience.
Mary, you know, there might be a lot of people who still find the idea of pork butt in particular shocking.
Well, let's call it pork shoulder, which is the same thing, and maybe people will feel better about it. But it is.
It's just another part of the
it
animal.
It is. And unlike a pork loin or a pork chop, this is something that you cook for a long time. So it gets really tender, fall off the bone tender.
Let's talk to Tucker in Prairie Village. He's calling us about his recommendation at 816-235-2888. Hi, Tucker.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well, yeah. Thanks for having me, taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling. What do you want to recommend?
Yeah, so recently I went to this place off Independence Avenue, and it's called Carniceria San Antonio. And it's this, like, really cool, like, grocery store. It's very authentic. And anyways, they have this food portion to the place. It's basically like if you imagine a food truck that was like the size of like your family room that you could go sit down and eat in. It was incredible. And they basically, what I would recommend from there is the Al Pastor, whether the taco form or this enchilada that they have. It not only was the best pork I would say I ever had, but it's still like the best food I think I've ever eaten in my life. And I know that's a large statement, but it is so true.
We appreciate the boldness of your assertion, Tucker. Are you able to describe what made this pork so exceptional just in terms of the way the meat tasted or was seasoned?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So basically, meat paired with these like house-made tortillas that they have there was insane. But like, I mean, dare I say this? It was actually the first time I've ever had Al Pastor in my life. So maybe that played into it. But like, it was just, I mean, it's a flavor that I can't really explain. It's more like, it's like your mouth salivates while you eat it.
Okay, well, that is quite a recommendation. Thank you so much, Tucker. So we were just talking about Port Fonda and El Comedor. Jenny, you are recommending chicharrones at Port Fonda?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some pork fat in there somewhere that's fried up crispy and delicious. And I think there's a little seasoning that they put on theirs. And I think he just does, he has always done and continues to do such a wonderful job with those. They're always light. They're always crispy. They're not greasy. They have a nice crunch to them. They're perfectly seasoned. It's a little kind of Chipotle ranch, salty loveliness that they sprinkle on it. And then obviously you can dip it in salsa or however you want to enjoy them. But just even on their own, just to appreciate them. And for so long, you know, everybody's kind of avoided, obviously, fat and particularly pork fat, I think. But it's nice to just have that little taste. And it's such an authentic dish to have as kind of a starter there. So, yeah, everybody should have them.
The chicharrones at Port Fonda. And something that we haven't talked about yet, you've got a prosciutto toast, and we haven't really talked about, like, the cured pork.
Yeah, so I got really anal on my list, and I was like, pork loin, pork tenderloin, pork cheek, pork belly. And then obviously at the bottom, I have a cured pork. So this is at the new place that just opened up on Delaware. It's a bookstore coffee shop bar called Our Daily Nada. And they have a series of toasts, some of them sweet, some of them savory. This is a prosciutto toast, and it has the most delicious sounding ingredients, so I had to go in there and check it out. Mascarpone cheese, peaches, and arugula drizzled with balsamic glaze and obviously some lovely slices of prosciutto on top.
And that bookstore is opened by Carlos of The Bite.
Yes, that's who's doing the food in there.
Who
that's
Mary
right.
mentioned earlier.
That's exactly right.
And so when you think about the appeal of a cured pork like prosciutto, can you, for people who don't have this as part of their food vocabulary, what would you say about it?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that's cured and then it's dried. And so when it's sliced, it's the texture of it is somewhere kind of, it's not quite as chewy as beef jerky because it's sliced really, really thin, particularly in the case of prosciutto. But it has this kind of funk to it that the drying process and aging process brings to it that adds an awful lot of flavor. It is salty, so it does kind of add a nice salty note to whatever you have. But, you know, I love it wrapped around fresh melon in the summer. That's kind of my favorite way to eat it, so...
Bonjour.
So with the cured pork, there's actually a dish at Kinlin. I know I listed something else, but it reminds me of something else at Kinlin that I love there.
Tell us about all the pork you love at Kinlin.
Well, the thing is that you said, is pork having a moment? I mean, pork has had a moment for 5,000 years in Chinese history because pork is king in Chinese cooking. Yep. And there is a dish at Kinlin called La Ro, which translates to winter meat, but it's called winter because it's cured. Mm-hmm. It's also interesting that La in Chinese also is a homonym for wax. I mean, so it is actually kind of waxy, which is mm-hmm. what cured meat sometimes takes yeah. on, that sort of waxiness as the fat kind of breaks down and dries over time. And what I love about this pork is that they take this cured ham that's salted, cured, and then they cut it, and then they stir fry it. And this one is a spicy version, I suppose you could ask for without the chilies in it. But it's this spicy version of this waxy, thick-cut cured ham that's stir-fried into things. And they use the meat very much in, like, a lot of Chinese dishes as seasoning to flavor the dish, and it's delicious.
That
it's one
sounds
of my favorite
great.
Things.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
It does. And yeah. so, and what is it? You're recommending another dish at Kinlin as well.
Yes. They also do this pork that's stir-fried with dried tofu. I will admit that I like the dish because I like the dried tofu, which has this sort of very dense texture to it. But they cut everything about the same size and shape, the pork, the dried tofu, and they have julienne vegetables in there, like celery. And they just stir-fry it. And I love the texture and how it all works together.
Well, we have to take one more break. Call 816-235-2888 and do it fast if you still want to get in on this conversation about pork on Kansas City menus. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we are talking about all the many variations on pork to be found in Kansas City at 816-235-2888. And we really want to hear about those dishes that just, this is pork done right. 816-235-2888. Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, and Bonjuing Lee are the food critics this morning. Hi again, you guys.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
So let's hear from a couple of our callers. We're going to talk to Rick in North Kansas City. Rick, what do you want to share?
Yeah, well, I live up in North Kansas City, and over the years, this watching this little community change, but some things that are still a standard are the old dive bars. And I think one of the things that's sort of, I think, of North Kansas City is fried pork. And I think Christine's Firehouse is one of the places that does fried pork the best. It's a huge, they call it a sandwich. It's not a sandwich. It's like a schnitzel without sauce. It has a bun that gets swallowed by the piece of pork. And it's delicious and crisp and juicy. But really, up here, my favorite place for pork is Bun Me Fan. They have this delicious pork belly sandwich. It is wonderful. It's got these, you get in on this like a fried fritter that they make that's a sweet bread. It has a fried egg on top of it with these marinated carrots and a huge pile of fresh herbs. It is one of my favorite Saturday morning pleasures to go up there to get the pork belly sandwich for breakfast.
Well, thanks, Rick. Anyone else here know and love that sandwich?
I posted it on Facebook this morning to promote the show.
Yes.
you have to see the photo of the sandwich. So for anybody out there, go to my page, look at the sandwich. I mean, it is one of those things that's just massive. And, you know, it's just a cute little dive bar in North KC. But I'm telling you, there's something about that sandwich. And it is big enough to share, and you just order a bun and toppings on the side, which they'll sell you. And you just split that thing in half and enjoy. And then there's usually some left over for tomorrow. It is massive.
So it is one of those hubcap.
Oh my gosh.
Pork tenderloin sandwiches.
My understanding is there's only one person in this whole dive bar that comes in specifically to make this sandwich. Like, wow. That's all they do there. And then they leave when they're sold out at the end of the day. And then Bun Me Fan is so good.
Well, so we have, speaking of something that's huge, Rachel in Olathe is recommending a dish that is a bountiful pork dish, I would say. Rachel, hello.
Sorry, I'm in the car with my kids.
Oh, I hope not in motion right now.
No, we're not. Sorry about that. So there's this newer restaurant down here in Olathe that is called Strip Chicken. And they do amazing chicken, but they also do these fantastic pork burgers. So I grew up on a pig farm, and so pork burger was like something that we ate regularly. Sorry.
That's okay. Kids will be kids.
Yeah, right. So they do this amazing, like, triple pork burger, and it's the burger plus bacon, and then they put chicharrones on the top, and then you can get, like, jalapenos on there so that it's, like, extra crispy and spicy at the same time. And it's just so well seasoned, and it's perfectly cooked where it's juicy and not dry.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm going to let you get back to those kids, but we appreciate that someone who grew up on a pig farm ate pig burger, and this is something you don't hear about a lot. That version of a pig burger sounds like pork on pork on
triple.
Pork.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
I don't think I've ever had a pork burger.
I've made them. I haven't had them in a restaurant.
I don't think I've ever seen it in a restaurant menu.
Yeah.
Well, so Mary, talk to me about Broadway Butcher Shop's DIY stuff.
If Broadway Butcher Shop has every kind of meat, and actually fish and seafood too, but they'll cut anything you want to bring home. So if you want to make a pork burger at home, go there, get your ground pork, or go get a pork chop like they have at Rye or the pork loin. It's the best quality, and you can just choose what you want. And they're really nice there because they'll help you. If there's something you've never made before, they'll tell you exactly how to do it. And if you follow their instructions, you're golden.
Jenny, talk to me about the pasta dish you're recommending at Novel, because this is an Italian, it sounds like Italian-inspired dish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is obviously Novel's new location down in the Crossroads. And they added pasta with the move to the Crossroads. And this is one of their pasta dishes. And it's basically their tagliatelle pasta. And it's a white bolognese sauce, which is the number one reason why I ordered it, because bolognese is typically a red tomato sauce that you see with meat, usually ground meat in it. So imagine more of a white version version. It wasn't like Alfredo, but it did have creaminess, obviously, to it, a little bit of vinegar or some bite to it. And then it has ground pork, veal, and sweetbreads. And it's just topped really simply with Parmesan cheese and a little bit of fresh basil. And I'm telling you, I would have ate 10 bowls had he brought it to me that night. I mean, it was really just a standout dish. And I think white bolognese was probably what caught my eye. But the whole dish was just well executed and comfort food at its core.
So that is at Novel in the Crossroads. And Mary, you are recommending a stew.
Yes, at Hogshead on the Plaza. They have a hogshead stew that's made with tender pork cheeks, smoked tomatoes, corn, and potatoes. And admittedly, you probably wouldn't want to eat it in the summer, although people always say you should eat spicy food in the summer. But it's a, you know, it's a hot dish, hot and spicy. And it's a meal in itself. And the server will tell you that it's spicy. And often somebody tells me that and I kind of blow them off. I think, yeah, right. This is spicy. I loved it. To me, the better, more spice, the better. But some people might be turned off. So this is my warning to you. But if you like spicy food, it is great.
And what about, so while we're kind of on the stews and soups, you are recommending the pork soup at the Rieger. We spoke with Howard Hanna earlier in the show, and his fondness for pork really came through.
Well, the pork soup is a staple on the menu. I bet it's one of the few things that has not left the menu since they opened. And think French onion soup meets pork confit. It's just a very rich, decadent, lovely soup, kind of like a French onion soup with pork in it.
And confit, that means it's been cooked in its own fat?
Yes.
And so you are a fan of that pork soup, and it must be staying on the menu for a reason, I guess.
Because I'm not the only fan of that pork soup.
And Jenny, you have a Rieger recommendation as well.
That's right. That's right. So Howard has one of the best charcuterie programs in the city. So for anybody who is interested in terrines and cured meats, his charcuterie tray is a hefty $30, but there is plenty, plenty for at least four people to share before a meal or two people to make a meal of. And he has many, many things, chicken and beef included on this tray, but he's a couple of standout pork items that he makes in-house. And one of them is the porchetta di testa, which is the pig's head roulade, which basically you take a pig's head and you basically roll it up, and you can cook it in a variety of different ways, but his is obviously cured and brined, and it comes out and is sliced thin, and it's just this beautiful roll of a little bit of meat, a little bit of fat, kind of all together, and delicious. It has the flavor of whatever is in the brine that you give it, and Howard's is just dynamite. There's an herb in there I never can quite place, but it's so, so good. He also has a delicious prosciutto on there, and then he has a terrine of sweetbreads and bacon that I don't even have to tell you is rich and delicious. So the charcuterie tray at the Rieger, one of the best in the city.
Let's talk to Joelle in Blue Springs. Hi, Joelle.
Hi. I'm calling to recommend another pork tenderloin sandwich that you can get at Thelma's Kitchen, which is on 31st and Troost. And I'm calling to recommend this particular sandwich for a couple of reasons. Number one, Thelma's Kitchen is a new pay-what-you-can cafe that's based on the One World Everybody Eats model. So it's a great location to go to support a great cause and to be part of something really cool. But also, Pam, who does all of the cooking there, she had never made a pork tenderloin before when she had a restaurant previously, but people kept requesting them. And so she made it, but she made it in her own style completely because she had never done it before. And so this pork tenderloin is a little bit thicker than normal, and the breading on it is almost more like fried chicken as opposed to like some of the typical tenderloin breadings. And so it's just delicious and moist, and it's wonderful.
And it sounds like we're getting maybe kind of an inside scoop on that too. Thank you, Joelle. We will talk now with Greg in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you? What can you recommend?
A good recommendation. It's somewhat more pedestrian than some of the places that you're talking about, but a good basic carnitas with a wonderful green tomatillo kind of garlic-based sauce is Rudy's on Westport Road. It's the a la Mexicana. It's served also with a thinly sliced kind of fried potato on the side, so it's a little of a variant. It's great comfort food. But it's the traditional carnitas, you know, pork shoulder that's been steamed for over a day and falls apart. And it is delicious.
And did you say you had two of them?
Oh, yeah. There's. I also like, if you want just strict up country food, the carnitas at Los Tules on Broadway. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing, you know, there's not a lot with it, but the meat is cooked to perfection, homemade tortillas. And if you ask for the special sauce from the kitchen, they'll bring you out basically a jalapeno variation that's got a lot of kick in it. So if you want to kick it up a couple of notches, it's pretty good.
Well, thanks, Greg. Mary, tell me, we have not done much on breakfast variations on pork. Tell me about your favorites.
At Succotash, they have my favorite pork hash, or favorite hash of anywhere in the city.
Which I have to say, you seem to be quite a fan of hash, so that's saying a lot.
It is. I just like that. If the fried potatoes, maybe it's because of my love of French fries. But instead of just, you know, cutting up some pork and throwing it in the skillet, they use the pork shoulder that they use for their Cubanos, and so it's roasted pork and the potatoes, and it's fried up, and then they serve it with a fried egg on top, and it's just outstanding. And usually some black beans on the side, and really good. And you don't really need to eat for the rest of the day.
So this is the pork hash at Succotash.
Yes, and then if you stay for lunch, you can have the pork, the roast pork in the Cuban sandwich.
You're just going to make a themed day of it.
Exactly.
Just stay and enjoy the pork. Yeah.
Bonjuing, we have not talked about ramen yet. That hasn't come up.
Yeah, so one of my favorite things in any ramen shop is they usually have a version of his tonkotsu, which is a pork broth. It's a very thick, rich pork broth. It kind of makes me think of the reason why I love Howard's pork soup. It's the pork fat is emulsified into the broth, so it's kind of like almost creamy. But then usually there are thin slices of pork belly that are put on top so that it kind of melts. It's kind of melt, you know, the fat's kind of melting, but it's great. And so you have this thin veil of melting pork fat essentially on top of a bowl of pork broth with noodles. It's a very porky affair.
And that is working in this case.
Yes. And so the Columbus Park Ramen makes a great version of it. Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. So
winter is coming.
Well, so we would be remiss if we did not speak about bacon, and specifically in August, the BLT. I had to think for a second to make sure we were still August.
Barely.
Barely.
Jenny, your favorite BLT.
I have a BLT from Hogshead, and I just did a test kitchen dinner with Chef Clark Grant, who is the co-owner of Hogshead, and his entire menu was pork. It was just basically one pig broken down, different dishes. Really amazing. But at his restaurant, he serves something called a B3LT, and this is basically unctuous, soft, lovely slices of thick-cut pork belly with crispy bacon, which a BLT to me has to have crispy bacon. So when I saw pork belly, I was like, And then paired with crispy bacon, now we're talking. So there's two of the bees there. The third one is bacon jam. So it's basically pork belly, crispy bacon, and bacon jam on this sandwich, along with romaine and a pickled green tomato and some scallion aioli on a bun.
So triple pork burger, triple
yes.
BLT. Yeah.
Triple bypass.
Three seems to be the magical number today. Yeah. But that's the B3LT at Hogshead.
B3LT.
And Mary, your favorite BLT?
It would be a tie between the one at the Blue Stem Bar and Happy Gillis. And what they both have in common is the best ingredients. So fabulous heirloom tomatoes, really good quality bacon, great bread.
I do love that BLT at Happy Gillis.
And take me to Princess Garden to enjoy what you're recommending there.
So Princess Garden is an institution, and I've been going there since my now 30-something kids were born. So it's been a while, and I always get the same thing. And they don't need to take my order when they see me come in. They just say, put in Mary and Tom's order. So two of the dishes. One is the Szechuan noodles with pork, shrimp, and chicken. And it's tossed in noodles. And they're thin strips of pork, and they just add a lot of flavor to that dish.
Is it stir-fried? It's dry.
It is stir-fried. Yeah. Yep. And it, you know, the Szechuan, it's supposed to be a little spicy. Nothing there is all that spicy, so it's very manageable. And then they have this harvest pork dish that it's stir-fried with garlic and ginger black bean sauce. I do the vegetarian version, but the pork one's really good.
On our way out, just the quickest last recommendation. Jenny, take me to Waldo Thai. And take me there fast.
Yes. New Thai restaurant in Waldo. It's basically, it's the same family that had the Waldo Thai in Westport. But they have a dish that's like a crispy rice with a kind of a cured pork sausage that's in it. It's got some veg. It's really delicious, lovely. It's tossed with a little vinegar. I can't recommend it enough.
Pork and rice. I know, right.
There you go.
Our time is up, but this has been fun. Jenny Vergara joining us from Feast Magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mary Block, blogging about food at Around the Block. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bonjuing Lee, the ulterior epicure. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We will have the list of best pork in town ready for your Labor Day weekend planning needs later today at kcur.org/centralstandard. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Speaking of the weekend, we will be enjoying our 3-day weekend off, but you can always talk to us on Twitter. We are at KCURCST. I'm at Gina KCUR, and there will be a special in this slot on Monday, so do tune in. Central Standard is produced by Melody Rowell, Kathleen Pointer, Coy Duggar, and Suzanne Hogan. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman.